Well, let's make our confession today, and again, our confidence in the Lord and His ability to speak through His Word to our hearts today, all right? So would you join me as we make this confession? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." The wife's name was Naomi. Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their sons Mahlon and Chilion. Aren't you glad we changed names up a little bit today? But their names actually have significant meanings. And they actually left their homeland and moved to the foreign area of Moab, which was just across the Jordan River from where they lived. And while they were there, Naomi's husband died. Her two grown sons married Moabite women. And in a span of 10 years, Naomi lost not only her husband, but both of her sons died as well. She had experienced some very great and painful losses over a 10-year period. And she's hurting. She's probably missing her homeland and the memories that she once held dear at one time. And now all she knows is just she's in a foreign country and she has two widowed daughters-in-law with her. And she hears that God had again blessed the area of Bethlehem, and the economy was coming back around from the famine. She wanted to go home. She wanted to return to her homeland. And the Bible says this in verse 6, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6. "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that the country of Moab, that the Lord, rather she had heard in the country of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." And so she wants to go home, but if we try to put ourselves into that culture a little bit, she was going to go, she could return home, but she still faced a very uncertain future. They didn't have, you know, programs and so forth in place really where, you know, she could just go home and receive a check, basically. As a widow and without a living heir, how would she even survive? And going through this very difficult time, and I would never even want to know what she experienced as far as having to live it out, like the loss of a son or daughter, and actually both of her children, and losing a husband, and then going home, I'm sure feeling very empty. And in her grief, and I'm sure unanswered questions, she blamed God for the things that had taken place in her life. And I admit, sometimes God can be an easy one to blame when we're going through a difficult time. See if you can just bear your heart with these words in Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. She speaks to her daughters-in-law and she says, "Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons," I'm sorry, that was verse 12, verse 13, "would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then verse 20, she comes back, and Naomi's name means pleasant. And when she returns after 10 years, people are saying, "Hey, isn't that pleasant? Isn't that Naomi?" And notice what she says, verse 20. "But she said to them, 'Do not call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. call me bitter, Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me pleasant, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? When we go through trials, I believe that you can relate to what I'm getting ready to say. We can become so focused on the trying moment and the trial and the circumstance and the situation or that person or the problem that it seems like everything in our lives is bad. Seems like everything is going wrong. As a matter of fact, Jacob went through a time like this. If you want to just write the reference down, I'll read it to you. It's found in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. Genesis 42, 36 says this, Jacob said to his sons, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. And notice these words, all these things are against me. Even here, thousands of years later, we still have a saying, and I'm going to start it. And if you know it, I want to ask you to finish out loud. Ready? When it rains, you see how, again, it seems like, man, everything's going wrong. Everything's against me. This is never going to be any good come out of this. And it's, I admit, and I think in our humanity, when we're hurting, when we're questioning, and we can't have any, you know, it's like it makes no sense. It's easy to focus on like one piece of a puzzle. I shared that last week. In fact, we'll put that picture up here. If you were not here last week, if you want to just look, this is one piece of a puzzle. I'll let them put it up here. And it's really hard to tell, I'm guessing, unless you're a really good guesser. I'm going to sign you up for Jeopardy if you can tell what that picture is from here. But if you look at that one piece, oh my goodness, it can seem so trying and it can seem so overwhelming. And when we're going through those trials and the difficult experiences and we're hurting and we're questioning, it can seem like just everything is on this. But brothers and sisters, when in those moments, we cannot always see the full picture of what God is doing in our lives. God knows all, and he sees from an eternal perspective, and we do not. So the message I want to center on, the same theme from last week, this morning is, trust God and do what he says. Trust God and do what he says. Would you say that out loud with me? Trust God and do what he says. And if you're writing, that's great, thank God. But would you also turn to someone next to you and very kindly try to encourage them? Would you tell them, trust God and do what he says? That's one of the reasons that we are told, and I'll give you again, if you just want to, we'll stay in Ruth the whole time. But I want to put a verse on the screen here. I'll read it to you. It's a familiar verse for many of us, found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Because we don't know what God knows. We do not see what God sees. He tells us in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That word lean has the idea of relying on or depending on. It's translated both ways. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just our intellect, not what we can figure out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because the scripture assures us, and we've seen it in the cross, and we've seen it in God's goodness, that God is good and he does good and he is worthy to be trusted from our heart. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on, don't rely on, don't depend on your own very limited human understanding. Verse 6, but in all your ways, would you say all your ways? Acknowledge him. That word acknowledge, it can mean to get to know someone like just as an acquaintance, But it means, it's a further meaning, it means to really get to know someone like you have a close relationship with this person. After 30 years of marriage, I know Kim in a much greater way than I did 30 years ago. I believe I know her in a greater way than I did 5 years ago. But that came through time. It comes through spending time and doing things together and sharing life together. And God is saying, just trust me. I've got your welfare at my heart. Don't try to figure it out. You don't know what I know. You don't see what I see. But if you will trust me with all of your heart and you will acknowledge me, get to know me in all your ways. Get to know my will in all of your ways. Be willing to do what I tell you to do, and I will direct or smooth your paths. If we come to God willing to do what he says, he is well able to show us what he would have us to do. Sometimes people want to know what God's will is, and we're not doing what we know his will is, and can't figure out why we can't understand what his unknown will is by the leading of his Spirit. We've got to go back. Let's do what we know to do. Then he can lead us in those details like, should I take this course in my classes this semester? Should I make this purchase? Should we invest here? Should I marry this person? God is able to lead those things if we will trust him with the things that we do know. Would you say, trust God and do what he says? I want to share three things with you. I love that verse. Would you read that with me again? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Three things I want to share along this theme this morning of trust God and do what he says. And I want to read a few verses from Matthew 7 first. Again, we just put them on the screen. I'll read them. This is Jesus speaking. We saw this last week if you were here. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus says this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Notice the key. And does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is the rock. The Bible says the word is like a rock. It's a solid foundation for us. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, notice, both hear and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. How do we know we're trusting God? We do what he says in his word. If you want to know, am I really trusting God in this area of my life? Are you doing what his word tells you to do? Because if we're not trusting, we're not going to be listening to what he tells us to do. How do I know? I'm doing God's word. This is the first thing I would like to share with you, if you want to write it down. Obedience is the path of blessing. Obedience is the path of blessing. God is a good God. He does bless us. And he wants us to be blessed. He just wants to bless us in a way that gives him glory and is good for our ultimate good and our spiritual development and walk. And our conformity to his likeness. He is a good God. Obedience is the path of blessing. Now, brothers and sisters, storms are part of life in a world and even in bodies that have been marred by sin. Just because we go through a storm, it does not mean that God is not with you, that he doesn't care, that he's against you, or anything along that line. God is with us through the storms. I thank God. And I can tell you this, I would rather face life's storms with God's blessing than to face life storms without His grace and blessing. Amen. Obedience is the path of blessing. Again, I'm not saying everything goes our way. This is not heaven yet. But God is with us. But it is still a place of blessing if we will trust God. I will say this. This is just for me personally, something I do, and maybe you'd be willing to do it as well. When storms hit, I try to just pause and evaluate my life and say, Lord, is there an area where I'm not in full fellowship with you? Is there an area where I need to change? Is there an area where I need to grow? Because if you want my attention, you got it. I mean, sometimes know that that's, you can get God can get our attention when we're in a need, right? And so to look to the Lord, and then as best I know, if I know I'm at peace with the Lord, Lord, I'm really seeking you. I'm seeking to walk in your will as best I know. Then I just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you because you're faithful. You're going to see me through. And brothers and sisters, if we will trust God and do what he says, we can weather life's storms by God's grace. And when the storm is over, we will still be standing on the rock. So obedience is the path of blessing. And here's the second thing. I'm thankful for, you know, our weather systems we have now. They can tell you 7 to 10 day forecast. And then as you get a day before, they change it and you get, no. They do actually have ways now, though, that do give us advance warning of like a storm, though. Thank God for hurricanes and so forth. The conditions are right for maybe a tornado in some areas. But what I found in life is we will not always have an advance warning of a coming storm. And we will not always have an explanation of why the storm came. And here's the second thing. It's so important. This has just been reinforced so much in my heart over the last 6 months. It's so important to stay in close fellowship with the Lord and with His people. It's so important to stay in close fellowship with the Lord and with His people. And then when that storm hits, it actually can have an effect of not causing us to drift in our fellowship from God, but cause us to draw near closer to God than we've ever been. Stay in close fellowship with the Lord and with His people. Naomi was hurting. Let's go back here to chapter 1. She was hurting, but she thought God was against her, but Naomi was still a woman of faith in God. I want to stress that. She spoke out of her grief and her hurt and her emotions, but Naomi was still a woman of faith in God. And we read these words. In fact, she had such a testimony to her daughters-in-law who were Moabites. They were willing to leave their native homeland and go home with her to a place they may have never been before. And she was selfless in her concern for her daughters-in-law. Look what she says in verse 14. She says, they lifted up their voice and wept, the three of the ladies there together. They wept, and it says that Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. She just cared for them. They were young widows. She wanted them to go and remarry and live their lives. But she had such a testimony. Notice what Ruth says in verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And notice this, and your God shall be my God. She has such a testimony, even through those difficult, trying times, that Ruth was willing to leave her homeland to go back with Naomi and to embrace Naomi's God for herself. And what a testimony. Verse 17, where you die, I will die. Where you there, I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts us. Isn't that something? Now, just like the book of Esther, you're going to see that both books reveal both God's sovereignty and human responsibility. God's sovereignty and human responsibility. God's sovereignty means that He is the supreme authority and He rules in human affairs. Again, I want to stress, it does not mean that everything that happens in this world and in this life was God's will. We know just from the fact that anyone dying and perishing without the Lord, it was not God's will. Because Scripture clearly reveals God would have all to come to repentance and none to perish. He'd have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If God's will was always done, why would Jesus teach us to pray for His will to be done here, even as it is in heaven? But it does mean that God is behind the scenes orchestrating events in such a way that His ultimate purpose is established and His will prevails. Let me just read you a few verses to back that up, and then we'll continue on in Ruth. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Again, familiar scripture for many of you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we find these words. Again, just see how it follows here. And we know that all things, would you say all things? All things work together for good. When it's all said and done, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom God did foreknow, or He knew in advance, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And notice, whom He justified, He also glorified. From God's eternal perspective, He already sees us in our completed state, just like Jesus. That's the work and power of His grace and what God is doing in our lives right now. He will complete what He has begun. Our part then is to trust God and do what He says. Here is our responsibility, Romans 14, 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, no human can overthrow God's overall plan. But we can rob ourselves and we can rob others by our disobedience. I will say that again. No human can overthrow God's ultimate will and plan and purpose. But we can rob ourselves and others by our disobedience. So trust God and do what He says. Let's look at this here again in Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go out in the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight, notice these words, I may find favor. Would you say favor? And she said to him, go, my daughter. So in going back with Naomi, Ruth had to go out every day and look for work in order for them to survive, in order for them to eat. I want to show you some great character qualities of Ruth and others here in the scripture of these virtues that, in fact, godly virtues are things that, let me say it this way. Godly virtues are characteristics that we can all choose to value and embrace. Amen. And grow in and develop. Ruth was a woman of faith now. She was a loyal woman. She said, hey, I'm going to be with you to the end. Ruth was diligent. She was willing to go out. She was a hard worker, man. She was a woman of purity, you'll see. So a woman of faith, a woman of just loyalty, of purity, of diligence, like her mother-in-law, a woman of faith, of selfless concern for others. And as she goes out, the Bible says this in verse 3. As she goes out to work, she left and went out and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And notice this. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech, which was her deceased father-in-law. Now, she just went out ready to work, and she happened to work on a field that belonged to a relative of her late husband. Has God ever provided a happened in your life? You were somewhere and you thought you were doing one thing, but it happened that someone else was there and it turned out to be something else. You just happened to go out on a walk or you just were driving, but somebody else came along and you happened to meet that person just at the right time. You were in the doctor's office and you were hurting or you're crying and you're questioning and somebody just happened to be in the office at the same time. You're in Israel and you go through a miscarriage and a doctor who speaks English happens to be in that hospital instead of where he thought he was going to be here in the States. God is able to bring a happened into our lives to accomplish his will. Would you say, trust God and do what he says? I've noticed this in the scripture because in my mind as I was preparing, I could even hear some, maybe saw a thought that would say, well, God doesn't do anything for me. He doesn't show any favor to me. I say this, as I looked over the years through scripture, I think about people like Abraham and people like Noah and Esther and Joseph and David and different ones whom God blessed with favor. What I noticed is they were faithful men and women. And it's amazing, I believe, when we are faithful, I believe it opens a door for God's favor to come in, because then we know that God will get the glory and that his will be accomplished. God doesn't give favor just so I'm comfortable and can have a life of ease. God gives favor to do his will and to give him glory. So here's the third thing I'd like to share with you. Favor follows faithfulness. Favor follows faithfulness. Obedience is the path of blessing. Stay in close fellowship with the Lord and with his people. And favor follows faithfulness. And I want to, again, just basically look at a few more verses here to wrap up in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11 says this. Ruth chapter 2. Because this man, Boaz, noticed her, and she was probably a pretty young lady, and he asked his workers, who is that girl? He wanted to know who she was out there working on his field. And the Bible says this in verse 11, Boaz answered and said to her, because when he found out, she said, why should I have favor in your eyes because I'm a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it's been fully reported to me all you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you've come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Brothers and sisters, we build a good reputation by being faithful and doing what is right. It'll take a while, but we can build a good reputation to where others, we don't have to promote ourselves, others will know if we're a man or woman of character and faith or not. And I want to put a scripture up. It starts in childhood. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter, I believe it's 20 or is it 11? It's Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11 says this, even a child is known by his deeds. By what he does, whether what he does is pure and right. That's a powerful testimony. A child can develop a good reputation. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like I blew my reputation, I did this or that, God has grace to rebuild a good reputation. Thank God for new beginnings. We just got to trust God and do what he says. And so Ruth finds favor in Naomi's eyes. And he tells his workers, in fact, he tells her, you come up here and eat with my servants here. She eats, and then he tells them when they go back out, hey, purposely drop some grain for her. I want you to load her up. And she had a load. When she went back home and she told her mother-in-law, Naomi, what happened, then Naomi realized God is orchestrating events to provide a qualified man who is going to be able to redeem us, to redeem our property, to provide for us, and give security for her, and carry on our family name. Boaz, in that sense, is a picture of Jesus. Now, the Bible says this, Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. She said, oh, Naomi told her mother-in-law and said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? She's again looking out for her daughter-in-law, Ruth, here. She wants to take care of them. And it says this in chapter 4 and verse 9. Just I'm going to cut down to the heart of it. Ruth chapter 4, verse 9. And Boaz said to the elders, because he had to do a legal transaction in order to do this. He had to buy the property that belonged to Ruth's husband and the family to get her out of it as a bride. And the Bible says, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was the two names of sons, Chilion and Mahlon, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his relatives or his brethren and from his position at the gate. That's a leadership position right there. You are witnesses this day. And then the next verse says, the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who's come into your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Isn't that something? Trust God and do what he says. Now, let me ask you a question. At this moment, do you think Ruth could see more of a complete and full picture of what God was doing all along? See, even when she was focused on that one piece, would you put the one piece back up on there? Again, when we go through the trials, we go through the struggle, we go through the difficulty and the heartache, it's so easy to focus on the trying piece. Have you ever put together a puzzle and you had one piece that was just trying? One piece or one season of our lives may not give the full picture of what God is doing. But when it's all said and done, the whole picture will look like this. Jesus, we will be conformed into his image and likeness by his grace. But brothers and sisters, God wants us to trust him and do what he says when all we can see is the one trying piece to see us through. You know what God did in orchestrating those things? Naomi was blessed as she became the nurse of a little grandson. Ruth and Boaz became the great grandparents of the great King David in Israel, an ancestor to the Messiah Jesus. Isn't that something? Boaz paid the price to buy the property because he wanted a bride. Jesus paid the price. And he bought all of creation back to God because he wanted a bride. He wanted you. He wanted the church to be his people. And he paid with his life's sinless blood on the cross. He suffered and died, and he paid the price. And when he came back to life from the dead, he now offers us redemption. And when God's Spirit draws us to turn from unbelief to believe in our hearts in Jesus as Lord, the blessings of redemption become ours. I want to close with these verses, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 4. Galatians 4, 4 says, and when the fullness of time had come, let me get there, I'm trying to do it from memory. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem those who were under the law. Is that right so far? that we might receive the adoption as sons. Born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and a son than an heir of God through Christ. The events of the book of Ruth took place. It says when the judges ruled. The last verse of Judges tells us, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was a time of spiritual idolatry, immorality. The economy was unstable. There was just civil unrest. And in the midst of it all, three people stood out as beacons of light because they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were people of faith who walked with him. Brothers and sisters, do you know Boaz's mom was a prostitute? Y'all know her name? Rahab, who came to have faith in God. And look what God did. See how he turned it around? And they established a new legacy and a new tradition of faith in their family to go on. And look how God blessed. That's why I'm saying, if we would trust God and do what he says, who knows how God will use us? And whether it's great in the world's eyes or not, it will be irrelevant. When we are trusting God and doing what he says, it'll be great for all eternity. God will reward us. And I want to close with this question. Is there an area in your life right now where you are willing to trust God right now to do what he says? Maybe there's been a battle. There's been something of your will and you don't understand how it's going to work out or how you can't figure it out or reason it out. And the Lord is even speaking to you right now by his Spirit, saying, trust me with all your heart. Don't try to lean on your own understanding. Just do what I tell you. I'll work it out. Is there an area in your life right now? Now, I just want to encourage you, if it is, will you put forth the effort? Value God's word enough to put forth the effort and learn what it says. Let's build our lives on the truth of God's word so that when the storms come, by God's grace, we'll still be standing. Trust God and do what he says. Let's just bow our hearts together as we look to the Lord in prayer now.